Second Timothy is a, I guess you might say, an off the beaten trail from where we've been in the last few months. Been focusing a lot on the promises of God and found in Jesus Christ and how those are manifest. And I was planning on talking a little bit further about them today, but the Lord kind of tossed this into my heart and I said, okay, we'll do it. Second Timothy, if you're looking for it, comes after Ephesians and all those larger books. Then we get 1 Timothy and then 2 Timothy. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And then we get into our T-books, as I call them. Thessalonians, Titus, and Timothy's. But we are in the second chapter of 2 Timothy. You like that one, huh? We're in chapter 2, verse 19 forward. Oh, I hear pages rustling, I'll wait. Just I want y'all to follow this and keep it, because we're going to stay here throughout the message. We're not wandering off today. All right, 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. These are the vessels of honor we're going to talk about this morning. Let us pause and ask the Lord for blessing and a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, You've established a foundation on the rock of Christ Jesus. And You've told us that You love us. And now we ask You to remind us of where we are in You now and the next step that You would have us to take. Heavenly Father, let our lives be under Your honor. I ask You this in the name of Jesus, that the words today would be Your words. The message would be Your message. Heavenly Father, to that end, may the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
This is an interesting passage to me because I hadn't planned on speaking on it earlier in the week. And when it came to my heart to speak on it, I said, Lord, what exactly do You want us to know? And what He simply says is that we all have vessels in a great house, He says, of gold, silver, but also wood and earth. In other words, what He's trying to tell us is in our lives, we sometimes have things that don't build up God's kingdom. We have beliefs, thoughts, actions, things in our lives, activities we do that don't increase the kingdom. Those things are not sown unto honor. Those are just there. How empty would our lives be, or how empty would we feel if we got rid of those things that weren't directed toward the building up of God's kingdom? I want to share with you the process I've been through this week to understand what this verse is saying to me and how it applies for each of us. I tried this week very diligently to write. And the more I wrote, the more I wrote about stuff I wasn't planning on writing about. And I was getting a little frustrated. I called a couple people and I said, I don't know how to write a book. I thought you just write chapters down, you start writing. And so I took some old sermons from December on forward and one from last summer that I'd spoken here, And I transcribed some of the highlights, and I said, well, this will do it. And then I realized there were some other things I hadn't planned on saying there as well. I had someone working on all the promises in the Scripture, and believe it or not, in this book alone, there are over 1,000 promises. So now I have 1,000 promises to go through. All of a sudden, I feel like it's a task and a job. I have a job now that I did not have last week. I had some work to do, now I have a job. And it just seems like the more you try to do for God and the more effort you put into it, the less you get done. You feel like you put all the pieces in place and it's not gone anywhere. It's as if you put a jigsaw and a puzzle together and weren't allowed to look at the picture. Because it keeps changing, or so it seems. And so my prayer this week has been, Lord, You write it. Because without You, I can't do it. I want to tell you what vessels of honor are. Because it talks about in a great house, the gold and silver vessels, but it doesn't really say what those are. And I want to share with you, the vessels of honor are those things which have been anointed of God in our lives and been sanctified for His purpose. That word sanctify is in here. It talks about being sanctified. And I think we need to know what that means. Sanctified means that we have been set apart for God's purpose and His purpose alone. In this worship setting, for example, the pulpit, prayer rail, it's not used for anything but helping people come closer to God. It has one purpose. In our lives, we wear many hats. We can be a parent, a brother, a friend, a sister, a cousin, an aunt or an uncle, a father, a grandfather, a mother, a grandmother, a daughter, or a son, or a grandson, or a granddaughter. We have so many hats. Those are just a few. Yet, which of those defines us in relationship to Jesus Christ? The only one I can think of that defines my relationship to Jesus Christ is I'm a servant. And how often do we decide to say, who are you? And you say, well, I'm a servant. It does not say slave. Slave is someone who, by no choice of their own, does something for their master. A servant willingly does. But how often is our first choice and our identity to say, I'm a servant? That my purpose and the reason God created me was to serve. When we begin to have that mindset, we can begin to say, Lord, put me to work as Your servant. A few months ago, we talked about what a servant is. When we first come to Christ Jesus and our lives are transformed by the saving grace, we meet Him at Calvary, we have become His disciple. We become Jesus Christ's disciples. We begin to learn about Him. At that time, we are not yet a servant. We choose servanthood after He chooses us. We choose Him and say, I choose to call You Master, and whatever You say, I'll do. Wherever You send, I'll go, and I'll not ask questions. That does not make us a vessel unto honor. It makes us a willing servant. Jesus says after that, when we've been a servant and faithful in little things, He'll give us responsibility in larger things. And after that, He will call us friends. He says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. It's a movement of discipleship, to servant, to friend, to co-ruler. As a friend, He says, I'm going to tell you what I'm about to do through you and with you. At that point, you have become a vessel unto honor, sanctified for the purposes of Jesus Christ in your life. When you have multiple purposes and multiple hats that you're wearing, and you're not fulfilling first and foremost your call to Jesus Christ, you're still either a disciple or a servant. When you become a friend, you become very clear about what God wants you to do. Folks, I've been preaching now 21 years, and I got to tell you, in December is the first time that God told me exactly what I was going to do. It was the first time that I said, I must have moved from servant to friendship, because He told me. But I got to tell you that He didn't tell me everything, so I know I'm just in the door. Still got to be a servant as well as a friend. Still got to keep learning as a disciple, so you never really shake those off and put them behind you. You still got to wear those hats too. You're still a disciple. You're still a child of God. You're still a servant of Jesus Christ and of the Heavenly Father. And when you become a friend, you're that too. Now, when the next step happens, I can't tell you about that till it happens for me. But I can tell you that He has called me His friend. And in the midst of that, there comes all of these things that happen in your life to say, no, you're not. Because He says if you're His friend, and if you're His servant, He's going to begin to do things for you. As you pray, your prayers will be answered very quickly. I had a prayer I asked a couple weeks ago. It took a couple weeks to answer, and I thought for those 2 weeks, I must not have been praying right. I must have assumed my position in the kingdom in the wrong place. But I want to promise you something that you need to understand. If you know who you are in Jesus Christ, state it, claim it, and don't allow anything to shake that faith. If you belong to Jesus, say, I belong to Jesus. I don't care what anybody else says. This is who I am in Jesus Christ. We can't let that go. Why? Because we start walking on treacherous ground. Very treacherous ground. If you want to be a vessel of honor, the stuff that's made out of wood is going to burn up when you get under pressure, under the fire of scrutiny or criticism. I want to tell you something that probably isn't flattering, but something I learned a couple weeks ago. When I went to the appeals process at my former employer, and they asked me a question, and I answered it in a very straightforward manner. I know how I would answer it. Now, I got a new answer today. And I wish I would have said this. Because they asked me, they said, if you were us, why would we keep you? And I said, because I'm a good worker, and I know how to do the right things. And I'm very trainable, and I'm always willing to learn. You know what I would have said now? I wouldn't have said that. I would have said this. I would have said, because I don't like your bureaucracy. I don't like you denying Jesus Christ. And if you keep me here, you're keeping me on God's terms. I would have stood up and witnessed. I didn't even think of that. I was too nervous. But I'm telling you, in that face, when you're under the fire, your true colors come out. And my whole thing was self-defense rather than promoting the gospel. And I should have said, I don't care what you all think. You need to keep me on. I'm valuable to this program because I bring an anointing from Jesus Christ. And you need that in this agency because most of y'all deny Him. Y'all trying to shut God out because you're afraid of federal. Well, guess what? You can bring God in by keeping me here. It's safe to bring God in. There's no ramifications from federal or any other legislation saying you can't have someone who loves Jesus on your staff. That's what I should have said. And you know what would have happened?
You still got fired.
I'd have still got let go, but I'd have got the word out.
Right.
I would have got the word out and I would have said, I stood up for Jesus. Do you know what that not standing up is called? Stubble. That's not a vessel unto honor. That's stubble. I'm telling you, that's not flattering. If you ever read the book of Malachi, you'll understand a principle in chapter 3, verse 3. You don't have to flip there because it'll take you a while. But it's the last verse in the Old Testament. Excuse me, last chapter. Or next to last chapter in the last book of the Old Testament. And this is what Malachi says. I really like this verse, and you may have heard it before. It says, He shall sit, this is talking about God, as a refiner and purifier of silver. And He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as of gold and silver, which is what we're talking about in 2 Timothy. And that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now we become the offering. Our lives and who we are become the offering, but a refiner of silver. Do you know how it works? Have you ever heard? A refiner of silver, when they get the silver or gold, it's not pure. You pull it out of the ground, it's not pure. It's got impurities in it. It's not shiny like it would be when it's finished. I don't have anything gold on it. I'd show you. You know what gold looks like when it's shiny and silver. But when it comes out, it's very dull. Not shiny at all. What happens is the refiner puts that in a pot, if you will, or a melting holder, and sticks a fire under it. Folks, it's a hot fire to melt that stuff. And what it does is all those impurities, the dirt and the junk inside, raises to the surface, and he skims it off. And when he skims it off, some more come up, and it can skim off the next layer. And so that when he's finally done, it's pure gold or pure silver. He has to constantly watch this process to get it done. He can't turn his eyes away, because if he turns his eyes away, it may scorch the precious metal. We can't damage what's there because he's trying to purify it, not destroy it. And so he puts just enough heat for just enough time to get rid of the unholiness or the uncleanliness of the metal, of the preciousness. And if you ask a refiner, they won't take their eyes off what they're doing, but if you ask them, how do they know when it's done? Do you know what he'll say? He'll say, it's quite simple. I keep looking into the pot as I'm pulling off the dirt. And when I see an undistorted image of myself, it's done. And I immediately take it off the heat and pour it into the mold. Listen to this. God has to cleanse us and purify us before he can put us to the use that he wants for us. His whole purpose isn't so we can be saved. I mean, it's great to be saved. It's great to be one with Jesus, but that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to be a servant and a vessel he can use for his honor. He's not facing us so we can live happy. He's facing us so we can fulfill our purpose, which creates peace in us, which creates joy in us, because that's what we're created for. I got to tell this story, Billy Joyce, and I never got to see it, but it's about and Madison knows this story, about a cat trying to be a dog. Oh, yeah. Cat trying to be a dog. The cat can try all at once, but guess what? It can't be a dog. It can nurse at a dog. I didn't get to see that. I would have loved to have seen that cat nursing at a dog. I don't know how I would have handled that, but I would have loved to have seen that. I tried several times to go over there, and it never did happen. But the cat's purpose was to be a cat. And try as it might to be a dog, is it a dog now? Does it act like a dog? It acts like one, but is it a dog? No. And if it has births or it parents any offspring, would they be dogs? No. It's a cat. And we find our purpose in what we're meant to be. We're not happy within or in our lives, and we frustrate ourselves if we don't fulfill faithfully what God calls us to do. Salvation is an opening of the door for you to receive the Spirit of God to work within you, to cleanse you, to restore you, to renew you, to make you a new creation. We say, well, my purpose is to praise God. That's your task. But it's not your only purpose. Your purpose is to glorify God. What did Mary say when the angel told her she was going to have a child? My soul doth magnify the Lord. That's our purpose. And that everything we do would magnify Him. So if you think about it for a moment, if you're going through some troubles in your life or some trials, God is looking directly on you. And He's saying, I'm getting rid of those vessels in your life, those things in your life that don't help you with your purpose. That's what I've been going through this week. I'm learning that I can't write the book without Jesus. There's no way. Because I'm going to write my book then. And my book just doesn't make any sense to me. I get frustrated. But when I line up with Him, the words flow, the structure's there, and peace is there. Not only that, but I get into that phase where I keep talking and I can't shut up. That doesn't happen when I'm writing my own. But when it's His words, it flows beautifully. And you can see the difference in the writing. Complete difference. So I say what Jesus says through Paul in Timothy, if you purge yourself from your dead works, in other words, the things you know in your life that don't please God, get rid of them. Now, I want to share with you what that means. If you know it's your job to get rid of them as a servant. As a servant, you get rid of those. God doesn't say, oh, I'm going to show you how to remove those. You already know they're displeasing to God. He says, just get rid of them. That's your job. How bad do you want to please Jesus? That's the question. And if we really, really want that in our lives, today and tomorrow, then we'll say, Lord, help me to be clear on those things in my life, in my family, and in my home that do not bring You honor. And I will remove them immediately. No questions asked. I'm Your servant. You are the master of my home, my life. If that's painful for you, think about your relationship a little bit. That should be a joy because it gets you well blessed. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word today. I, for one, needed it. I needed to hear that the chaff, the stubble, the wood, that's my job, not Yours. Heavenly Father, help me to enlist the resources that You told me I have to do that. And may each one of us here, as we come to the table for communion, in our hearts, purpose, direct, and willingly commit to making that happen. That we would clean up the junk we know is junk. That our lives would reflect only You. Heavenly Father, You said You would take care of the rest if we did that. That You would sanctify us at that point. Heavenly Father, help us to become sanctified. Thank You. In the name of Jesus, I pray this. Amen. It's at the point in our service where we have communion.